Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Friend Wrap. I'm your host, Nicholas Lorimer, today joined by Marius Ruart. Let's talk about our first story for today, and this is about the new Basic Education Minister, Siviwe Gorube, who has announced her intention to send the Bella Bill back to, or to advise the President to send the Bella Bill back to Parliament. So the Bella Bill is this new piece of education legislation which has been passed by the National Assembly and is, I believe, waiting for the President's assent and signature, which essentially centralizes decision-making away from school bodies and parents in schooling to basically bring that under the purview, I think, of the provincial department of education in each province. In an interview with News 24, Gorube said she would advise Ramaphosa, quote, whom I will be engaging on this matter, to refer the Bella Bill back to the National Assembly to fix those parts which have been rejected by the education sector. The bill was very strongly opposed by the DA, which for many reasons, one of which was that, according to Helen Ziller, that the bills are non-negotiable and that the right of school governing bodies to determine the language policy of a school is a red line for us, for example. So this, I think, is an important, interesting test of how the Government of National Unity is actually going to work in terms of what policies it can get done. The Bella Bill is something that we at the Institute of Race Relations have opposed, or at least opposed in its current form, and suggest that it needs to be reformed. So we agree with the Basic Education Minister here that it should be reconsidered. And we'll have to see what the President does here. I think there's a possibility that the President may send it back. But Marius, what do you make of this? Do you agree that this is an important test of the GNU? And do you think it's likely at all that we'll see any revision to the Bella Bill? And if there is or isn't, what do you think the DA should do in response?
Yeah, I think this is pretty good by the DA. There's obviously been a lot of concern that the DA could be co-opted by the ANC by being part of the GNU. And I think this is, I think the DA has passed this first test pretty well. I think this is, if they're going to be in the GNU, they can't just prop up the ANC. They also got to push policies that they've been voted, that their voters agree with. And I think this is one. I think another big one is going to be the NHR, which the Health Minister, the reappointed Health Minister Aaron Motsoaledi, is pushing again, and the DA has obviously been opposed to it. And that's something that's also going to have to be monitored. So, this is going to be a big test for the GNU overall, because also President Ramaphosa could easily say, well, no, I'm not sending back to Parliament. I'm going to sign it, so sorry for you. We'll have to see if the kind of atmosphere of cooperation and so on will hold in the GNU. This seems to be, from what I've seen so far, it does seem to be pretty good a partnership in the GNU from all parties at the moment. But obviously, it's still very early days for the governments, and a lot can still happen. But overall, I think it's got off on a decent foot. Obviously, not perfect, with the ANC getting more cabinet posts than it should have, and obviously chairpersonship or chairmanship of portfolio committees in Parliament far more than it should have, if you want to go by the proportional kind of element they were supposed to be in the GNU. But there does seem to be, people do seem to be wanting to work together and cooperate. And I think this is going to be a big test for the GNU. And it all depends what happens. If President Ramaphosa says, no, I'm going to sign it, then the DA is going to have to do some introspection, I think. And have to wonder, are they just going to be kind of a patsy for the ANC? But also, maybe the ANC will actually be mature on this and say, well, this is an important partner of us in the GNU. We'll take their concerns into consideration and relook at the bill.
I think an interesting next first step, if the ANC decides to go ahead with the Bella Bill, will be for the Education Minister to decide what's within her purview to implement, or maybe to slow walk. And, you know, not all of this should necessarily be public. Like, for example, I don't think that she should go out and say, I'm going to sabotage this bill's implementation thing, which would be really stupid politics. But at least to consider, okay, you know, where do I have some discretion? Yes, I have to comply with the law, but are there areas where I can ensure that the worst aspects of this bill are not brought into force, at least while I'm minister? I think that's also going to be important. And of course, you know, if this kind of thing goes on, then the DA is going to have to consider the sort of nuclear option if they aren't able to get any sort of policy change. But that's still some ways down the road. We'll have to see what comes of this, but I think an interesting test of policy, and we'll see whether the President is willing to bend on this one. All right, let's move on to our next story, and this is, I don't know what to describe this as, a kind of embarrassing mess. the independent group has decided, which a group of sort of media media publications owned by Iqbal Survey, which has for a long time been very close to a certain faction of the ANC, and I suppose MK nowadays, has decided that it is going to expose a mysterious anonymous Twitter slash X account called Ghulam, which has reported embarrassing things about the sort of Zuma EFF side of South African politics. They held a press conference for this, which was attended by former ANC heavyweight Lindiwe Sisulu, where they claimed that a lecturer at UKZN was the person behind this account. The whole thing seems to have been a bit of a farce. The guy they accused rejected this and said that he's since received a whole bunch of death threats. The YouTube video was taken down off of where it was originally streamed because of legal threats of legal action. And there's now some indication that the person who they accused of being behind this account is actually going to sue them. It's not clear whether that's going to go ahead, but it seems like it might be moving in that direction. The Daily Maverick reported on this with a fair amount of glee, saying that the person responsible for making the accusation as part of independent media also owes the Daily Maverick 100,000 rand in defamation damages after they took him to court. So it was a really bizarre press conference, because also during it, Lindiwe Sisulu, who was a former Minister of Intelligence, claimed that we bugged everyone, but we did this legally. I mean, Morris, this whole event is like kind of a bit of a confusing mess, but what do you make of this? I mean, firstly, it's just kind of embarrassing, but secondly, like, this bugging thing is, I don't think particularly unexpected, but do you think she's actually telling the truth?
You know, sordid is the word that comes to mind, really, with this kind of thing. And the fact that Lindiwe Sisulu is getting so worked up about, you know, a guy on Twitter, and who knows who he is, but it doesn't matter. I mean, nobody should be doxxed, even people who say absolutely ridiculous stuff, you know, like whatever, that we should nationalize everything in the country, whatever. People, doxxing is one of the worst things you can do to somebody. Unless you are sending death threats, then no, everybody's, if you're anonymous on the internet, should be fine. And it's actually ridiculous that all these resources went to trying to find out who this Ghulam was and so on. And it just shows you how the mighty have fallen from Lindiwe Sisulu to the independent group. I mean, the independent group has such a long and proud history. You know, very important newspapers like The Star and The Weekend, August and so on. And The August, you know, were part of its stable newspapers that have been around since, you know, 1850s and so on. And now it's just really...
It predates South Africa.
Exactly. And now the independent group is just this weird conspiracy racist mess, you know. And this, I think this is also just a symptom of it. We'll show you Lindiwe Sisulu as well. I mean, how thin can her skin be? Like, so what? Somebody's saying stuff about you on Twitter, so block them or mute them, you know. I remember there was a famous tweet I saw where someone said, how can cyberbullying be real? Just close your eyes and walk away. Obviously, cyberbullying is a thing, but don't get taught that.
You know? Yeah, you know, you'd think that that you know, using your entire media company to pursue some sort of beef with an anonymous account. I mean, if what they're saying is untrue, then just say it's a lie and this is an anonymous account. Why are you taking them seriously? In fact, I'd never heard of this account. And maybe that's just because I don't spend enough time on Twitter until this press conference. So, just a complete farce.
But also shows you Lindiwe Sisulu, as we were saying before the show. I mean, she's from that Sisulu dynasty, and Walter Sisulu, obviously one of the kind of great, Oaks, OAKE, not OKE, you know, of the ANC and the struggle and so on. And I mean, her brother was also a long-serving ANC politician who was a Speaker of Parliament, but he's retired and he's just kept himself, and he still has a lot of gravitas from, he's still a person with gravitas.
Yeah. The and contrast just with his sister to them. Is quite something.
Exactly, which he's become quite a, you know, I don't use the word lightly, but a bit loony. So, yeah. But, yeah, it's also, it just shows, I mean, as I say, I think sordid is really the way to describe this whole nonsense.
And, you know, I have a very low opinion of the National Intelligence Agency. So if it does turn out that during Lindiwe Sisulu's administration, they actually were bugging everyone, which is no doubt illegal. I would not be terribly surprised if that turned out to be the case, but I suspect we won't know for many, many years to come. Anyway, let's move on to our last story. And this is another sort of interesting, somewhat amusing little story. The new minister from the DA of Public Works and Infrastructure was giving a speech about infrastructure in the country, infrastructure projects being held up by the construction mafia. He had very strong words for the construction mafia, saying that they would take no prisoners when it came to sort of illegal delaying of their projects and attempts to hold up government's infrastructure projects. That he even went so far as to say that people who held up infrastructure projects would be considered an enemy of the state, which is not the language I would use, but that's, you know, I appreciate the sentiment. And he, at one point, when was being interrupted by MK and EFF speakers during his speech, he said that, I'll take questions at the end, but I know some parties are very close to the construction mafia, so it is difficult for them. To which the EFF responded with outrage, saying that the minister has insulted us. He said some parties are very close to the construction mafia. You can't generalize on a statement like that. We are not involved in the construction mafias as the EFF. There was some dispute about this in the rules, but the chairperson ruled ultimately that because there was no specific reference to a member of parliament or to a specific political party, it was within the rules to say this. Then the EFF responded by saying, quote, unlike some in this house, I have, that's the wrong quote. They called him, they referred to him as they referred to someone in the house. I think it was, they were referencing McPherson as someone who is on Tinder searching for love or something like that, which is just completely bizarre.
Only got him a trick. They called him a matriculant.
Yeah, he's only got him a trick. Yes, they called him a matriculant who's on Tinder searching for love, which, to be clear, is, I think, a little bit, yes, we can't be abused by some matriculant who hangs out on Tinder to find love, which is a little bit worse than vaguely alluding that someone might be close to the construction mafia.
Nah, it's all, it's just, it's ridiculous. And, you know, the EFF, if the shoe fits, you know, then wear it. But it's quite telling that they reacted like this. But there's something I just wanted to point out in this article, which I thought was also pretty interesting. So there's a paragraph here that says, Matthijs made mention of McPherson's race, saying his appointment as minister, despite not having a post-matric qualification, was white privilege, and called the ANC a house Negro political party that allows such white privilege to flourish in the country. But what's interesting in this article is that the house Negro quote, it's written out house, then N, then four stars. As if Negro, like obviously it's a very outdated word now. You wouldn't use it to call, you know, you wouldn't describe it to call a black person. Nobody would call a black person a Negro in modern society. But it's not a slur like the word that starts with N or the K word or whatever. So it's really bizarre to me that News 24 decided to censor this word. And I think I don't really know what to make of it. But I think it's all kind of, you know, it says a lot about our society that News 24 thinks that its readers are such shrinking violets that they'll be upset by seeing the word Negro written out, which is all quite bizarre. But I mean, that's a bit off the topic, but I think it's just something that's quite strange. And it says, I think, people, you need to respect your readers a little bit more than that. You know, people, I think they can handle seeing a word like Negro written out.
I mean, also, I think there is something to be said of very accurately reporting what people in the House of Parliament say.
Mm. And there's a difference between
represent us.
Exactly. And
if
also,
they're saying things that are unconscionable, then that should be said, that should be reported in full.
And also, if we don't want to say these words, we actually give them a power they don't have. We turn them into magic words in a way. You know, obviously, nobody should say the K word, but there's a difference between using it and mentioning it. So if you say, so-and-so said the K word, it's, you know, it's not the same as actually using that word or the N word or whatever the case is. So it's also, and people just need to, as I say, you turn these words into magic words, and you actually, you create blasphemy laws. Actually, if you say these words, you can't say it ever, you know? So, and if you think people are so weak that they can't even see the word written out. So it's something I think it's maybe part of how society's become, where people take offense at quite small things, or people assume that people take offense at quite small things when it's not really the case. But yeah, but sorry, that's a bit off the topic, but I think it's definitely something to think about. But yeah, overall, it's again, the EFF is, I mean, left with the egg on their faces again. Hasn't really been a good 6 months for the EFF, which
I quite like. The phrase, the lady doth protest too much, comes a little bit to mind here.
Yeah, exactly.
The EFF's response to this, particularly when he didn't name them, even if he was obviously, I think, kind of referring sort of...
But, I mean, this is a bit Strassen effect, isn't it? Like, you know, nobody would really have reported on McPherson saying this, but now because the EFF got so hot under the collar and people are probably putting on Twitter and Facebook and stuff, more people have seen this as a bit more exposure for Dean McPherson.
Hmm. Anyway, this next couple of years in Parliament, I think, is already shaping up to be quite exciting in a whole bunch of ways, not least the language being used by the EFF and MK is, shall we say, not very diplomatic in most cases. Anyway, that's a story for another time. We hope you found the show interesting. We will be back tomorrow with the Daily Friend Wrap. That's a wrap. The Daily Friend Show and the Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR, or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.